yesterday we left off in the middle of a story. The Gemara was telling the story how the Reish Galusa had an encounter with Rav Sheshes, where the Reish Galusa asked Rav Sheshes, how come you don't eat with us? And Rav Sheshes said, well, I don't eat with you because your avadim are chashur and evi minachai. They would serve evi minachai. The Reish Galusa said, I don't believe it. You have to prove that to me. So Rav Sheshes, in fact, proved it to him. He got his own shamish to steal one of the legs of the animal that the avadim were preparing. The avadim came and they brought a three-legged animal. They brought the parts of a three-legged animal to eat. And they said, "Hey, wait a second. Where's the fourth leg?" And then suddenly they appeared with a fourth leg. So they must have cut it off of a live animal. Then Rav Sheshes told his eved to take out the leg that he had stolen. And he said, "Wait a second. This could not have been a five-legged animal. Obviously, you see, your sins have been exposed. You see that we must have stolen the leg, taken the leg rather, from a live animal to be mashlim the fourth leg. And you see that they're chashud on Eiver Menachai." So the Gemara continues the story three lines from the bottom of the page. So the Gemara says, "Amar lei on Samach Zayin on Beis, Amar lei ihachi liavdu kamei demar v'lechol." So the Reish Galusa says, Rav Sheshes, "Okay, you got me. They apparently are chashur and Eiver Menachai. What about if they prepare the animal right in front of us? We'll be mashkichim. They'll do it right in front of us, and then we'll eat." So Amar lei lachi, he says, "That sounds good to me." So krevu tachu kamayu, they brought the table in front of them. Va'esu kamei bisra, and they brought meat in front of them. Va'osivu kamei ristra dechan kachamsa. And what they did is, in order to the avadim were obviously not so pleased with Rav Sheshes, so they brought in front of him a piece of meat that had planted within it a tiny little bone, hoping that he would choke on it, that he would eat it, and he would choke on it. Gashe v'shakle karcha besudre. Now Rav Sheshes was blind, but he probed around in the meat. He felt around where in the meat whether it was soft, and the way Rashi understands it is he found the bone. And he wrapped the bone together with the larger piece of meat that he was eating in a cloth. Meaning he wrapped it in a napkin. If you look at Tosos karcha besudre mishum da ashkach beitayma dechivra hu da avad hachi. It sounds from Rashi's explanation that he wrapped it up because he found the bone and he didn't want to choke and he didn't want to eat the bone. So he took the meat and he wrapped it in a cloth to have for evidence for later that they were trying to choke him. Whereas Tosa says no, the Gemara is going to be very clear in just a few lines that the reason that he wrapped it up has nothing to do with the bone. It had to do with the fact that he tasted that there was something wrong, that there was an irregularity in the meat itself, that there was something wrong with this meat. And the Gemara just doesn't mention it yet, but in a few lines it will become clear that it is in fact why he put away this piece of meat. Why didn't Tosfos want to say like Rashi that it was because of the bone? Because Pashtos is, if it was only because of the bone, why did he wrap the whole piece of meat up? He should have just taken the bone out and wrapped that up. Why did he not eat the entire piece of meat? So says the Gemara Vayter, Lebasu diachil amar lei ignav lan kasa de kaspa. After they finished eating, so the avadim said, "Hey, we're missing a silver cup," meaning they accused Rav Sheshes of stealing a silver cup from them. So they wanted to check his bags, right? Says Rashi, "Show you Rome also karach besudre vrotzim livdok mahu." They saw he wrapped something in his cloth, and they said, "We want to see what he put in there." So obviously, as they were searching him, they found this piece of meat wrapped in the cloth. So Amri Le, they said to him, "This is evidence that he never planned on coming to eat in the first place. He's just pretending he wants to eat with the Reish Galusa, but it's an insult to the Reish Galusa. He doesn't really plan on eating with the Reish Galusa. He's only coming here to drive us crazy, to make our lives miserable." So Amri Lehu, "Ana mechal achli v'tami beitami d'chivra." He says, "No, you don't understand. I was eating, but then when I tasted in the meat, I tasted," Rashi says, "basar b'alishchin. I tasted that there was an irregularity with this meat, that this came from an animal that had boils. It was terrible." So Amri Lei, they said, "Chivalo avadlan hi'idna." They said to him, "No, we didn't make meat from an animal with boils today. That wasn't on today's menu." Makes it sound like that normally it wasn't unusual for them to make such meat, but today they didn't make such meat. So Amri Lehu, "Badku b'duchtei." He said, "Go check the high hide of the animal where this meat was cut from. If you find a white spot on black on a black animal or a black spot on a white animal, so that's a sign that there's a problem with that animal. So you're going to see that that there's a problem with this animal. And they checked and they saw that there was in fact a discoloration on that part of the animal. So when Rav Sheshis was leaving, they still weren't happy with him, so they were still trying to trip him up. And in this sense, they were literally trying to trip him up. They dug a bar, and they put a mat over the bar, hoping that he would walk right over it and fall right into the bar. So va'armilei leisi marlenach, and then they said to him, "Why don't you come and rest a little bit?" Meaning they're inviting him to walk right past that area, hoping that he would fall into the bar. So they said, "Come and take a little rest." Nachale Rav Chista me'achare. So Rav Chista, who was behind Rav Sheshis at the time, made a noise, like he coughed, he cleared his throat, right, to alert Rav Sheshis that something was going on over here and that he should be careful. So Amrle Liyanuka, Rav Sheshis right away turns to a child that happens to be standing there, and he says, "Psokli psukech, tell me what pasuk you're learning." And the child says, "Amrle Nitelechal Yimincha al Smolcha, that you should turn to your right or to your left." He says that pasuk. So Amar Leil Shamish. Rav Sheshis says to Shamish, "Maika Chazes, what do you see in front of you?" Again, Rav Sheshis was blind. Amar Leil, he says, "See piece of the shadia. I see a mat that's thrown on the floor." Amar Leil Hadarmina. He says, "Take me around it. Don't take me over it. We have to walk around it. That's what the pasuk means. Yiminecha al smolich, that we have to go to the right or to the left." After they left, Rav Chista says, "How did you know? How did you know to go to the side? How did you know not to walk over it?" I guess it was exposed that the bar was under there. So he said, "How did you know?" Now, Marsha points out, it's a strange question coming from Rav Chista. Rav Chista was the one who cleared his throat and informed him, basically. He obviously made that as a simon to him to not go over that area. So what do you mean? Why would he ask, "How did you know?" Wasn't it obvious how he would know? So it could be that Rav Chista was confused by why he would ask the child after he had already cleared his throat, or it could be that Marsha says that Rav Chista says that he expected Rav Sheshes to ask him, "No, what does that mean? Why are you clearing your throat? What are you trying to tell me?" He didn't think Rav Sheshis would be able to figure it out just by the clearing his throat alone. He figured that Rav Sheshis would ask him. And so he asked, "How did you know? I never actually told you. I only gave you a simon." The Iyun Yaakov, and the Iyun Yaakov says that Rav Chista didn't do it on purpose. Rav Chista wasn't trying to alert him of anything. Rav Chista had no idea what was going on. He just happened to have been coughing. So the Iyun Yaakov says that it was Nizdamna Min HaShemayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, that he should do that just at that moment to alert him. So even though he wasn't intending to alert him. So anyway, so Rav Sheshis responded, "How did I know? Amar Lei Chada D'Nachal Imar. First of all, you cleared your throat." So that was a dead giveaway. Va'od D'Paskli Yinuka P'suka. Plus, the child told me this pasuk, which clearly said that I should go to the right or to the left, and that's what I did. Va'od chashidi avdi lomalu. He says, also, these are good-for-nothing people. These are people that are chashid, that have tried to trip me up before, and there's no reason why they won't try to trip me up now. There's a big issue over here in Halacha. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avod Chavim Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Hey, V'chein ha-shoel l'tinok eze pasuk atalomed. If a person goes to a child and says, "Hey, what pasuk are you learning?" Im amar pasuk min ha-brachos yismach v'amar zeh simen tov hareza mutter. If the child says a cheerful pasuk, and the guy says, "Oh, so that's a good simen for what I just did," so that's mutter, says the Rambam. Why? Havol v'lo kivein ma'aso v'lo nimna milasos. Since you didn't decide to act or not to act based on what the child said from the pasuk, you did something or something happened and you want to know if it was a good simon or a bad simon, so you ask the child. So that's fine. But if you're going to use the child reading a pasuk or telling you his pasuk to decide what to do, that's nichush. That's not good. That's an issur in the Torah. You're not allowed to do that. So the Kesef Mishnah on the spot and in his Beis Yosef in Yerodei Simkovayin Tess, he also asks, I don't understand. And this Maisa with Rav Sheshes, he's doing exactly that. He's going ahead and it's a question raised by the Chuvus of Rashba, Chelik Aleph Sim Tuf Yud Gimel as well. Rav Sheshes is going over to this child and he's asking him, Sokli Psukech, to decide what to do, to decide the proper course of action over here. So the Ran in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Hamid Beis, explains that this isn't Nichush at all, rather it's Nevuah. Because the Gemara tells us in Masechet Baba Basra Daf Yud Beis that Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nitl Nevuah Min HaNeviim, that the Nevuah was taken from Neviim, and who is it given to? To children and to crazy people. So when you go over to a child and say Psokli Psukech, it's not a problem of Nichush, it's Nevuah. That's fine, it doesn't explain the Rambam. Meaning the Rambam clearly was talking about going to a child, and the Rambam still says that it's only okay if you're just using it as a simen once the action is done already. The Bach in Yoredei Simen Kufayin Tes over there says that Rav Sheshes is different because Kol Ma'asel V'Shem Shemayim. That maybe for Rav Sheshes it was okay. So I'm not 100% clear on why that would be okay. The Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, when he raises this question, says that perhaps over here he wasn't really relying on the child. Two other things happened. First of all, Rav Chisda cleared his throat, and also he had the general suspicion of these avadim, so he didn't want to go anywhere where they told him to go. So because he wasn't relying solely on the child, maybe that's why it was okay. Anyway, the story continues. The Gemara continues with Agarita. Shlomo Melch says, "Asisi li sharim v'sharos v'ta'anugos b'nei adam shida v'shidos." What's Shlomo Melch talking about? What are sharim v'sharos? Elumine zemer. Sharim v'sharos are different types of musical instruments. Now it happens to be the Medrash says sharim v'sharos are not musical instruments, because why would you need male musical instruments and female musical instruments? Sharim implies male, sharos, female. Instruments are neither male nor female. So the Medrash says sharim v'sharos means people to sing, men and women to sing. Why does the Gemara not want to say men and women to sing? Pashtus is because Kolbi Isha Erva. Shlomo Melch wouldn't hire women to sing for him. So it can't mean sharos for women to sing. So it must mean different types of musical instruments. And perhaps there are certain musical instruments that men are more likely to play, and there are other musical instruments that women play more frequently. So that's what it means, sharim v'sharos. Anyway, the pasuk continues, v'ta'anugos b'nei adam, and also the enjoyments and the pleasures of people. What's that referring to? Elu brechos u'merchatzaos, pools and bathhouses that Shlomo HaMelech built. And shida v'shidos, what's that referring to? Hacha targimo shida v'shidasin. Male demons, male shedim, and female demons, female shedim. Right, that's shida v'shidos. V'marava amri shidasa. And in Marava, in Eretz Yisrael, they say that no, shida v'shidos relates to, Rashi says shidasa means an agala l'markeves nashim v'sarim, a special wagon that women and important people ride in. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech was showing off that he had made. So the just as one of the Torah, believe it or not, the Binayahu over here says that what's so special about making a wagon? Wagons are pretty common. So Binayahu says that they were made with special chachma, they weren't regular agalos, like we have nowadays, where we have wagons that run on gasoline. So Shlomo HaMelech was privy to this chachma, and he knew how to make it, he just didn't spread it for a while, which is a little bit of a strange vart. But anyway, says the Gemara, there must have been something special about it. They were very beautiful. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shalosh Meos Mino Shedim Hayu B'Shichin. There were 300 different types of Shedim in the city of Shichin. V'Shida Atzma in Yodei Mahi. I'm not sure what a Shida is, though. Amar Mar Hacha Targimo Shida V'Shitzin. Over here we say that it means a male demon and a female demon. Shida V'Shitzin, the Mahi Bayile. But then the question is, what was Shlomo HaMelech doing looking for demons? Why did he need a male demon and a female demon? What was he looking for? Because the pasuk says v'abayis b'vanoso evin shleim amasa nivne. The pasuk says that the bayis that Shlomo HaMelech built, he built with complete stones, meaning he never took a stone and took a knife to it and took barzel to it to cut the stones. So he said to the rabbanon, what should I do? Amrulei, Ika Shamira, Da'isi Moshe La'avne Eifod. Moshe Rabbeinu had a similar problem when he needed to engrave the names of the Shvatim on the stones of the Eifod. So what did he do? He found this little worm called the Shamir, and that was able to engrave the stones. So you should go and find that Shamir. So Tosus over here points out that from here it's Mashma, that they had the Shamir still in the second Beis HaMikdash. How do you get that? Because if the Shamir was needed for the Avnei Eifod, we know the famous story in the Gemara Kiddushin with Dama ben Nesina, right? That if you want to learn about how to do Kibbut Aveim, go to Dama, you look at the stories of Dama ben Nesina, who was a guy, and he excelled at the mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim. And one of the stories was that he had the Avnei Eifod. So apparently, and the story before that was that he was rewarded with a paraduma being born into his flock. So you see that during the same tkufa that they had a paraduma, they also had the Avnei Eifod. Tosfos points out that they didn't have any paradumas born in the Bayis Rishon. They were able to rely on old paraduma Eifer that they already had. There were no new paradumas during the Bayis Rishon. So you see that clearly Dama ben Nesina was during the Bayis Sheni. And yet, he was able to provide the Avnei Eifod. But what good will the Avnei Eifod do if you don't have the Shamir to engrave the Avnei Eifod? Elamai, Tosfos says, you see that they still had the Shamir during the Bayis Sheni. The Sfasemis writes that it's not a raya at all. Maybe the whole Maisutam ben Asina was during the Bayis Rishon. We said that they never made a paraduma during the Bayis Rishon, right? Where Rashi says, Tosfos says the Bayis Rishon lo asu para kedamar shnia asa Ezra, right? That they never made a paraduma in the days of the Bayis Rishon. They never were able to make the Efer para. So says Sfasemis, we only know that Dama ben Nesina had one born into his flock, and that the rabbis were willing to pay a lot of money for it. We don't know that it actually came to fruition. It could be that there was some psul that was found in it afterwards, or that something happened. It never says that they actually made the Efer Para. It just says that he had one born, and then he made his money back. So Sfasemis says, not a raya necessarily, that this occurred during the Bayis Sheni. It could be that it occurred during the Bayis Rishon. Says Tosfos Vayter, Ve'ein lahakshos to beperek basra de sota tnan, mishamesu nevim arishonim batul urim v'tumim, umishchar v'beis hamigdash batul shamir, tahaynu beis hamigdash hasheni, he says that when it says mishchar beis hamigdash, the shamir was gone, that's a reference to the beis hamigdash hasheni, because beis hamigdash stam is always the second beis hamigdash. When the Gemara wants to talk about the beis hamigdash rishon, it says so. It says specifically beis hamigdash rishon. Okay, so Tosfos goes back and forth on this issue where he tries to prove this idea that the Shamir existed still in the Bayis Sheni. Anyway, so Shlomo HaMelech needs to find this Shamir in order to cut the stones of the Beis HaMikdash that he's interested in building. So Amar Lahu Heicha Ishtakach. So he says, where can I find the Shamir? So Amar Lahu, they told him, Aisi Shida V'shitzin Kavshinu Ba'adadi. So they said, we're not sure where you can find it, but maybe if you can catch a male and a female shade, and you can you can ask them, and you can pressure them, you can torture them a little bit, you know, maybe they'll Efshar Diyadi Megalulach. Maybe they'll know and they'll be able to tell you. Right? Rashi says, Tosfos over here rather says, why did he need the shadim for this? Why didn't he just ask the Urim V'tumim? So Tosfos says, Ki lo ratzu lishal b'Urim V'tumim k'sheichol lishal alidei davar acher. He didn't want to ask the Urim V'tumim if it wasn't absolutely necessary. If it's possible to find out some other way, so you should go find out some other way without having to rely on the Urim V'tumim. So this was called the Efshar B'davar Acher, meaning through all the trouble we're about to read through, that Shlomo HaMelech put himself through in order to find the Shamir, is called Efshar B'davar Acher. So apparently the Urim V'tumim, according to Tosfos, is only in very, very extreme circumstances where Yimamish have no other recourse. Now the Gerish Yerachim over here says, no, he didn't use the Urim V'tumim, because if you look, the Urim V'tumim never really tells you a course of action. It doesn't tell you what a plan. The Urim V'tumim tells you yes or no. When they need to know, will we be successful in war? So the Urim V'tumim will say yes or no. The Urim V'tumim doesn't really, Gerish Yerachim says, you don't find that the Urim V'tumim tells you what to do, gives you a plan of what to do. So if he needed to find the Shamir, the Urim V'tumim is not going to be helpful, because it's not going to tell him exactly how to find it. He may have asked, is it a good idea to find it? Then the Urim V'tumim would have been helpful. But anyway, so he's told to go to these shadim and try to pressure them. There is a discussion in the Rishonim in Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Samach Zayin whether it's mutter or aser to be mishtamish b'shadim, to use shadim in the first place. The Yad Rama in Sanhedrin Samach Zayin says that it's aser to be mishtamish b'shadim. So the Marsha says there must have been some heter over here for Binyan Beis Hamikdash, because in Binyan Beis Hamikdash, for the cover of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of the Bria is mechuyav in doing whatever we can to enhance the cover of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it must be that a special heter for the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. The Russian Sanhedrin says it's mutter to use shadim. You see over here, he was using shadim, so it's not a problem. Okay, why would the shadim know where the Shamir is more than anything else? So the Iyun Yaakov over here explains that they were both created at the end of the day on Erev Shabbos, right? We've quoted the Medrash recently that Shadim were created on the end of the day Erev Shabbos. Yeruch Chaim HaKadosh says that it's sort of an unfinished product. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrating that he doesn't finish off everything, and he was in the middle of making them and he stopped because Shabbos came. So meaning not that he doesn't finish off everything, but it's demonstrating to us what we have to do when Shabbos comes, even if it might be destructive. We have to stop whatever we're doing when Shabbos comes. So the Shamir also was made out of Shabbos toward the end of the day. So since they were created at the same time, you figured they might know the whereabouts. One might know the whereabouts of the other. So I see Shida Vishitzin, so Shlomo Melech goes and he captures the demons. Kafshinu Adadi Amri Anan Lo Yadinan. And they say, sorry, we don't know. We just don't have this information. Dilma Ashmedai Malka Deshidi Yada. So they said, though, maybe the Melech of all the Shadim, Ashmedai, maybe he knows. So Amalu Hecha Yisei says, well, where do I find him? Amalai Yisei Betura Plan. He's in a certain mountain. Karya Lebira Umali Le Maya. He has dug out for himself in that mountain a bar, and he has filled that bar with water. And he covered that bar with his stamp and with a rock, and he sealed it off with his stamp, with his signet. And every day he goes up to Shemayim and he learns in the Masifta Derekia. And he comes down into the earth and he learns in the yeshivas down here. And then he goes and he checks out his seal to make sure it hasn't been broken. And then he opens up his bar and he drinks from the bar. As long as he can tell that the tamper-proof seal has not been tampered with, he's comfortable drinking from his bar. So apparently he can suffer too. From the shade is something that's half in this world and half in the next world. That's the symbolism of him going and learning in the Masifta Derekia and learning down here in the Masifta Da'ara. So he's subject to danger as well. So he makes sure that his water, his drinking supply hasn't been tampered with, and then he drinks from his water. Then he recovers it, reseals it, and goes back to his regular schedule. Shadri l'Benayahu ben Yehoyada. So Shlomo HaMelech sends Benayahu ben Yehoyada for the job to go try to catch him. So Shlomo HaMelech gives him the tools he needs. He gives him a chain that has the Shem Hashem engraved on it, and he gives him a ring that has the Shem Hashem engraved on it. Madanei HaMelech asks, why did Shlomo need to do all these tricks? The Gemara in Megillah Yid Alef and Beis says that Shlomo HaMelech was Malach be'Elyonim k'moshe Malach be'Tachtonim, that he ruled over everything, even the Elyonim, even the Malachim. So Mestami, he was Melech over the Shadim as well. Why does he have to do all these tricks in order to catch these Shadim? So he says, Efshe, that this is before he was Malach be'Elyonim. Okay, so anyway, so he also gives Benayahu the Gavavi da'Amra, he gives him balls of wool, the Ziki de'Chamra, and he gives him like wine sediment to make wine from. So Azal Kara Biramitasai, then Binayahu goes and he digs a bar underneath the bar that this demon had dug for himself. Vishafinu Lamaya, and he drains the water out of the bar that belonged to Ashmedai. Vishasminu Bigavavi Da'amra, and then he plugged up that hole between his bar. Remember, it's in a mountain, so he's able to dig a bar underneath it. So he plugs up the hole in between his bar and the bar of Ashmedai with the wool, the Karabira Me'ilai, and then he goes higher up in the mountain and digs another bar. Vishavchinu lechamra, and he pours his wine into that bar, vitaminu, and then the wine goes from his bar down to Ashmedai's bar, fills up Ashmedai's bar, And then he goes and he fills, Binayo goes and he fills in the two burrows that he made. He fills it in with dirt. Salak Yasu B'ilana. Then he goes and he climbs into a tree, waiting to see what happens. Kiyasa Sayer L'gush Banka Galia Ashkechamra. So then Ashmedai comes home, he opens up the bar, he sees that his seal is not broken, he opens it up, and he finds that there's wine in there. Omar, Ksiv, Leitza Yain, Oma Sheikha, Vakal Shoga Belo Yechkam, Uksiv, Znus Yain, Vitiro Shikach Lev. He says there are all these psukim about how wine is bad for you. So he says, I'm not going to drink wine if wine is bad for you. Lo Ashisi, so I'm not going to drink. But then he got really thirsty and he needed to drink something, so he couldn't help himself anymore. He decided he wasn't going to drink, but he couldn't help himself, so he needed to drink. So Ishti, he drank. Rava, he got drunk. Begun, and he fell asleep. Interestingly, Tosas over here says, he quotes these psukim. Tosas says, in the days of Shlomo Melech, this pasuk was not yet written. So how could he be quoting these psukim when this pasuk from Hosea, which didn't exist yet at the time of Shlomo HaMelech. So he says, Yodim Kama Orosam Lach Hashem Ramiya Perkle Yachbar. Nevertheless, they still knew these psukim even though they weren't written down yet. Meaning, Ki'ilu it was part of Torah Shebal Peh, even though it wasn't yet in the Torah Shebachsav. They didn't actually write it yet, but the ideas were out there. These ideas of these psukim were out there. Reminds me a little bit of the Gemara Mesechus Brachos, where the Gemara says that the Gemara Dashin's a pasuk that Vet Milchas, Luchas, Ha'evin, Asher Kasafti, etc. And the Gemara Dashin's each word in the pasuk. It says Luchos, Seidu Aser Sedibros. Asher Kasafti is Mikra. And it goes through the whole pasuk and it says Mishnah and Talmud and Nach, Melamed, Shekulam, Nitna, Lemoshe, V'Sinai. That all of these things were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Right? Clearly implying that all of Nach already was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai in some form. Probably not in the exact form that we have it, but in some form, all of Nach was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. So the ideas existed even before the psukim were necessarily written in the Tanakh. Anyway, Nach is Asa, so then he came down from, Binayo comes down from the tree, because the shade is, Ashmedai is sleeping now, so it's a great time to catch him. Shadabe Shushilta, he throws the chains on top of him. Sasman, he locks him up in the chains. Kiitar, when he wakes up, have a kamefarzel, so he's trying to break free from the chains. So he screams to him, the name of your master is on you, the name of your master is on you. So what does that mean? So I thought Pashas meant is don't break that chain. You break it, you're going to be breaking the Shem Hashem. You're going to be ripping apart the Shem Hashem, meaning be careful. Even you're not allowed to rip apart the Shem Hashem. It's not that a chain with the Shem Hashem is indicative of Hashem wanting him to be chained up, because anyone could engrave a Shem Hashem on something and chain somebody up and say, oh look, Hashem wants you to be chained up because the Shem Hashem is there. No, Pasha says he didn't want him to rip apart the chain. So and he knew he would respect that. So Kinakat Levasi, so the Ashmedai gave in, he stopped fighting it. So Binayo started bringing him to Yerushalayim, all chained up, and Matadikla, they came across a dekel tree, a palm tree, Chafpe Shadya. And when as soon as Ashmedai rubbed against this tree, the whole tree was knocked down. Mata Lebesa, then they came across a house, Shadya, and again, the whole house, he rubs against the house, the whole house is knocked down. Mata Gabe Kuvada Yarmalta, they then get to a hut, a little hut that an almana lived in. So Nafka, she came out of the hut, and Ichanan Alei, and she begged him, Kafalu Kamusa Mineh, she said, please, try to bend your body out of the way of my house. You knock down a tree, you knock down a house, my little hut, I can't have you knock it down. So please, please try to avoid it. Itper Begarma, so he did. He twisted his body. Kafalu Kamasa Mineh, he twisted his body in Itper Begarma. And while he was twisting his body, he broke a bone in his body, trying to twist away from the hut. Amar Hainunduksiv Lashon Raka Tishpargaram. He says that's what the pasuk means when the pasuk says someone who speaks softly will end up breaking people's bones. Because here, look, my bones broke because this woman spoke nicely to me, and it ended up breaking my bones. Chazya Samya Dahavakatay Borcha. Again, still on the way when they're on the road, he saw a blind person who was lost, who couldn't get on the right path. So Askel Orche, he corrected him, he put him on the right path. Then he saw a drunk man who couldn't go on the right path, who was lost, who was going off the road. He put him back on the right path as well. He saw a wedding that they were celebrating, bacha, and he started to cry. He heard a guy telling a shoemaker, I want you to make me shoes that are going to last me for 7 years. And he laughed at that. The demon Ashmedai laughed when he saw that. Chazahu kisma davakasim. He saw a sorcerer doing practicing sorcery. Achich, and he laughed at that as well. Period. So that's what happened on the way to Yerushalayim. The Gemara in toward later on in the summit is going to explain each of these actions. What Ashmedai was thinking when he did each of these things. Why he laughed. When he did each of these things. Anyway, but in the meantime, the Gemara tells us kimatalahasam. When he finally got to Yerushalayim, lo elu legabi deshlomo atlasu yomei. For 3 days, he wasn't invited to go in to see Shlomo in his throne room. Yomakama amaluhu amaylo kabayi li malka legabe. So the first day, he says to the guards, why is Shlomo Melech not asking for me? Why doesn't he want to see me today? Amrlei ansi mishasya. He says they tell him that he drank too much today. That's why he's not interested. Shakal veinasa osava chavrita. So he then takes a brick and he puts it on top of another brick, as to be symbolic of something. But the guards had no idea what he was doing. Why would he take one brick and put it on top of the other brick? So asa amrlei l'shlomo. So they went to the chacham mikaladim. They went to Shlomo Melech and they said, listen to what he did. We told him you drank too much, and he puts a brick on top of another one. So amrlehu Shlomo Melech solves the riddle. He says, hachi amrlehu hadar ashkiyua. He's telling you to give me to drink more. The next day he says again, why does the Melech not want me there? So the guards say, well, today he ate too much, so he's not in any condition to see you because he ate too much. So now he takes the brick that was piled on top of the other brick, he takes it off, and he puts it on the ground. So again, the Avadim had no idea what he was doing. So they went back to Shlomo and they said, look what he did. So Shlomo said, Hachi Amalahu, Nagidu mine michle. What he's trying to tell you is that you shouldn't give me food anymore. You should withhold my food from me. So the Madane Melech over here explains that, meaning Pashtos is, he was telling him what's healthy, right? That after you eat a lot one day, you shouldn't eat a lot the next day. But if you drink a lot one day, that it is healthy to continue to drink in some volume the following day, because I guess stopping suddenly would be damaging to you. So Pashtos, he was telling him something good, something that would be helpful to him. However, Madani Melech says no, that he wanted Shlomo Melech to focus on drinking more than eating. He wanted him to get drunk, because he knew that the only way Shlomo Melech had any shlita over him was by getting him drunk, was by having him drink wine. So he figured the only way that he's going to be able to get out of this is if he gets himself, if he can get Shlomo drunk, if he can have Shlomo be nichshal in the same thing that he was nichshal in, so he'll be able to overcome Shlomo. Anyway, after 3 days, Shlomo Melech finally invited him in. Shakal kanya umashach arba garmidi v'shadikamei. So Ashmedai took a reed, he measured it exactly 4 amos, and he threw it in front of Shlomo Melech as a symbol for what he was about to tell him. Amalei said to him, michti, ki ma'yisahu gav alesei badin alma eladal garmidi. At the end of the day, this you're going to own in this world 4 amos of land. The 4 amos where you're going to be buried is what you're going to own. Right? That's what we assume, that the kever is 4 amos long. Mars Mabas would talk about how they would fill in the caves when they would bury people in caves. So assuming that it's 4 amos. Why is it 4 amos? So the Gemara says in a number of places that the height of an average person is 3 amos. So the Pashas is, if the average person is 3 amos plus the Aron that he's going to be buried in, so you need an extra little bit of space by the head and by the foot. Well, the Tosus writes that the height of a person is really 3 amos to his shoulder. So then you would say 4 amos is the entire height of the person. That would be right. That's the issue. Is an amma 18 inches or is it 24 inches? Or somewhere closer to 24 inches. If it's 18 inches, it's hard to say the average height of a person is 3 amos, because the average height of a person is more than 4.5 feet. So of a man, so woman also, but so the probably it would mean to the shoulder. If you say the higher shear, so then it would probably mean the whole height of a person. 24 inches is tough, because say the average height of a person is 6 feet. It's pretty pretty tall. Anyway, hashta kavishte l'kuli alma v'lo savata ad to kavash nami l'didi. So Hashmadai complains. He says, you know, you conquered the entire world. You're still not happy? You need to conquer me also? What do you want from me? So Shlomo says, I don't want anything from you. I'm not interested in you. But I want to build the Beis HaMikdash. And I need the Shamir to build the Beis HaMikdash. And your people, your demons, told me that you might know where the Shamir is. That's what I'm interested in. He says, I'm sorry, you got the wrong guy. I wish I could tell you. I have no idea where the Shamir is. So they're sending him on this wild goose chase. He says, the Tsar of the Yam, he has the Shamir. And he says, but you should know, I'll give you some information. He only gives it to this wild tarnagol, some type of wild chicken. That's the only creature that the Tsar of the Yam trusts the Shamir with, because this wild chicken, if it does anything, if it loses, it's very careful about a shvua that it takes. And it took a shvua to take care of that Shamir, so it's never going to lose it. So that's the only place you could find it, if you could figure out a way to trick the wild chicken, because it's very neman about its shvua that it's not going to let it out of its sight. So my other day, what does this this wild tarnagol do with the Shamir? It goes to a mountain that doesn't have anything growing on it. Umanachla ashina datura takes the Shamir up to the peak of the mountain. Now, what's special about the Shamir is that it's able to crack through things that are very hard. So he puts it at the peak of the mountain, upakatura, and it makes cracks in the rocks at the peak of the mountain. It opens up a hole at the peak of the mountain. Umankit maisi bizrani meilane. Then this wild tarnacle goes and gathers seeds from all different trees. Vishadi asam, and he throws it into that crack. Vavi yishuv, and things start to grow in the mountain. So he's osik biyishuv shalolam. He's helping things grow in mountaintops. He's developing communities in mountaintops with vegetation. Vainu dimitargaminon nagar tura. And that's why the targum of this wild tarnagol is nagar tura. He's someone who builds mountains. So, but Gukina de Tarnagola brought the Isle B'nei. So, what did Shlomo HaMelech do? He sent Benayo to go find a nest of one of these wild Tarnagolim who had young children, young babies in the nest. And the oldest trick in the book, he covered it with clear glass, right? If you want to get a bird to fly into something, so you put clear glass, and so the tarnagol tried to go home into the clear glass. Kiyasa, I just know that because my parents always had a glass door in the backyard, and birds would regularly, all the time. So kiyasa bay lumeil v'lomatzi. So when it wanted to come, it tried to go into its nest, and it couldn't get in. So it says that the tarnagol noticed it had this hard thing covering its nest. So azalai si shamir v'os v'ilavei. Says, I know someone who could take care of this. So he goes and he brings the shamir to cut through the glass. Rama Bekala, right then, Benayo lets out a noise to scare the bird. Shadya, the bird drops the Shamir. Shakle, and Benayo takes it. So he's got it. He's captured the Shamir. So Azul Chanak Nafshei Ashvuase. The Tarnagol then goes and he chokes himself to death because he violated his Shvua. Right? He was so he commits suicide because he was so sincere about trying to keep his Shvua. So anyway, Amalei Benayo, now going back to Hashmadai, to this demon, once they had him. So Benayo said to Hashmadai, "My time, ki chazise lu samya, tava katay buurcha, asikse luurcha. Why is it that when you saw that blind man that was going off the road, why did you set him back on the road?" So Amalei, "Mechrazi alei berakia d'tzadik gamruhu, umanda avalei nichanafshei zachli al madasi." I heard them announcing up in Shemayim that this guy is a tzadik gamur, and anyone who does what he wants, anyone who does something good for him, is going to be zochet olam haba. Figured, might as well, you know, I'll get some extra olam haba. So I set him on the right path. He continues to ask him the rest of the actions, but the marshal points out it's strange. He didn't start with the first thing. First thing we learned is that he saw a dekel, and the dekel was uprooted. Then a bias, and the bias was uprooted. And he never asked him about that. He started asking him only with the blind man and on. Why didn't he ask him about all that other stuff? So the Marsha points out that he didn't ask him about those things because a shade is a destructive creature. So that which he did, which was destructive, didn't bother Benayahu. That's what a shade does. It destroys things. So the dekel, the bias, good, it destroys those things. But he only starts asking him when he sees that he's doing something productive. He says, why are you doing that? Why, when you saw the drunk man on the road, did you set the drunk man on the right path? The Rasha Gomru says, I heard them announcing in Shemayim that he's a Rasha Gomru, and we should do something good for him now so that he can enjoy the schar for whatever little good he's done in this world while he's still in this world, so that in the next world he can have only onesh. He can suffer all the consequences of everything that he's done, and he won't be zochet to anything good in the next world. It reminds me a little bit of the Gemara Maseches Brachos also, in the first paragraph of Brachos, where the Gemara says, Hodieni Nasrachachach, Moshe Rabbeinu asks, let me know your ways. And the Gemara says he's asking him, why tzaddik v'ralo rasha v'tovlo? So we're fond of quoting the last answer that the Gemara quotes, that you can't know that, you've seen my back and you're never going to fully understand. Right? But the Gemara has suggestions before it says that. The Gemara says maybe one of the reasons why we have rasha v'tovlo is so that the rasha can be paid off in olam hazeh, so that in olam haba he can suffer the true consequences of everything he's done. And tzaddik v'ralo is the same. Tzadik v'ralo, he gets whatever punishment in this world, so then in the Olam HaEmes, he's going to have all the good. So a similar idea over here, that's what the Ashmedai says. My time, kichazise lehu chadvasa b'chisa, why when you saw the wedding did you start to cry? Amalei bayi memes gabra begot plasin yomin, because he says, I saw that the husband was going to die within 30 days. Ubayi mintel yavim katan tleis shnin, and she was going to have to wait for the husband's brother to become a gadol for 13 years. He had a newborn brother, and she was going to have to wait for Yibum, for she was going to be in Aguna for 13 years. My time at Kishamate Lahu Gavra, the Amrle Lahushkafa, Avali Misani Lashev Shin Achikas. Why did you laugh when you saw the guy asking the shoemaker to make him shoes that will last him for 7 years? Says this guy's not gonna live another 7 days, and he's interested in getting shoes for another 7 years. I just know what's gonna happen with this guy. So he's not gonna live for another 7 days. What does he need shoes for 7 years? So I saw some of the Achronim say that maybe this is a makar for the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim Siman Taf Nun Dalet says that one should not wear shoes that belong to a dead person. So because otherwise, what do you mean? What's the kasha? So he wants it to last for 7 years, so to leave it for his yarshim. Let his yarshim, if he's not going to enjoy it, let his yarshim have it. The Gemara in Tainus tells us famously that people plant trees even though they know it's not going to produce fruit for 70 years, long after they're dead. Why do they plant the trees? Someone planted a tree before I came into this world. I'll plant trees for people who will come into this world after me. People do things that they know they're not going to reap the benefits of during their lifetime. So maybe that's what he did. So maybe there's a makar for the Sefer Chassidim that know that they're not going to take his shoes, because you're not allowed to take the shoes of a dead man. Anyway, my time ki chazise lo kisma davakas machikas. Why, when you saw the sorcerer doing his thing, did you laugh? Amle davi yasav abegaza demalka. He was sitting right above a treasure house of the king. Looks so mighty to say. Maybe with his kochos he could figure out what he's standing right on top of, and he wouldn't need to use the sorcery for trying to find out these deep mystical things. This reminds me also of the Gemara in Brachos Dav Zayin, where the Gemara talks about Bilam Arasha. Right? The Gemara says afilu das behemta. The Gemara asks the kashan Bilam afilu. Das behemto lo aviyada. He didn't even know the das of his own animal. Das elyon yada. What? He knew the das of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? He doesn't even know what's going on right under him. So it's ridiculous that he's going to go and try to divine all these far off things. Tarche Gabei, so Ad Debani the Beis Hamikdash, Shlomo Melech kept Ashmedai incarcerated until he built the Beis Hamikdash. Yom Echad Avakai Luchudei, so one day he had him alone. Amalek Siv Ketofos Re'em Lova Amrin Ketofos Eilu Malach Yashor Yisra'em Eilu HaShedim. It says in the Pasuk of reference to Malachim and to Shedim, Mai Rabu Seichel Minan, why do you get to be included, you Shedim get to be included in the Pasuk with the Malachim, and we don't? What do you have over human beings? So Amalek Shekol Shushil Tuminai, so Ashmedai said, I can tell you just need to take the chains off of me. V'havli Yiskaseich, V'achilach Rabu Seichel, give me that ring that has the Shem Hashem on it, and then I'll show you what makes me so great. Shalke Lushu Shulta Minei took off the chains of Yavle Yuskise and he gave him the ring. Bale, and he swallowed Shlomo HaMelech. And Mesor HaShah says he either was Bale the Shlomo or Bala, he swallowed the ring. Osfe Lechad Gafya Berakil Lechad Gafya Ba'ari. He puts one wing up in Shemayim and one wing down on earth. Paske arba mea parsi, and he throws Shlomo about 400 parsos. Ali shaita omer Shlomo ma'yish l'nadim kalam lo sheyamul tachas Hashemish. And on that moment, Shlomo HaMelech says, what benefit is there to all the work we do down here? V'zeh yachalki mekalam ali. My v'zeh, what's the zeh that was Shlomo HaMelech's chelek from all of his work? Rav Shmuel chadam r'makala v'chadam r'gundo. One says it was his walking stick, and the other said that it was his cloak, meaning that that's all he was left with after Ashmedai was done with him. So apparently Shlomo HaMelech was left, Ashmedai tricked him, and Shlomo HaMelech was left empty from anything really. And the Gemara is now about to tell the story, which we're not going to have time to do today, but it's going to tell the story of what Shlomo HaMelech was taken off of his throne and had to be treated like a hedyot, and what he did during that time and how he managed to get his throne back. So Mirat Hashem, we'll get to that tomorrow.